take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Jenna, how are you?
Morena, everyone. I am great, thank you.
Oh, excellent. I'm glad to hear that. How's it looking in the shop this morning?
It's pretty chilled. I was a bit worried because I was the only one here for a second, and now someone else has arrived, so I'd made a sign saying, I'm about to go on the radio, just in case anyone came in.
Nice.
Crisis averted.
Excellent. Good stuff there. Hey, what are we talking about today?
So, I've seen this a lot over the years. I find it very difficult to recommend funny authors, and it can often make really awkward conversation between a bookseller and customer as one assesses each other's sense of humour. However, the prolific David Sedaris is my genuine go-to funny author.
Awesome.
And his new book, A Carnival of Snackery, is the second volume of Sedaris's infamous diary. So this volume covers 2003 to 2020, following volume one, Theft by Finding. Have you guys read him before?
I've read some of his stuff, but more kind of like essays and things. I don't think I've ever read a whole book of David Sedaris's things. I was going to ask you, in the sense that it is kind of a sequel, you don't have to have read his first collection of diaries, do you? You can just dive into this one.
Yes, I think you can just dive in. And I'll go into that more a little bit later. But like, I think it's safe. I think this is a safe present for anyone. And I'm saying present because I'm thinking of Christmas time.
We are hitting that.
Oh my god, it's coming so quickly. So you, like, as you read a diary, you have zero context for the entries. There's these names that he just talks about, you don't know who they are, but it doesn't really matter. But also, if you know his work and you know his, therefore you'd know his family, who he writes about a lot, you would definitely recognize a lot of the names, and of course his longtime partner Hugh. And so where Theft by Finding, the first volume, covers his time as a student, and he was an addict, and when he's starting out as a writer, this book is more the background of his trajectory into success, and also like growth of wealth and traveling and touring and living in different countries. So it captures quite an interesting time in his career, and it's quite a long time in his career, almost 20 years. So that's why I feel like you could just pick this up and start reading it completely fine. So I feel like the book has a great rhythm. Obviously, it's very selective, but there's David Sedaris is really well known because he tours a lot, and he's really well known for having these huge signing lines afterwards, and they often go for about 4 hours. And he loves people, and he loves the strangeness of people and strange stories and like kind of like fucked up stuff.
Yeah.
And he'll have a question that he will ask people. And so often this book is a document of those types of conversations. So one diary entry might be like, you know, 5th of May 2012, this woman told me this bizarre story, or like gross story. And then he also has just jokes, and they're quite mainly cringeworthy dad joke style, filthy jokes. So it's just these snaps of like little paragraphs of behind the scenes of, if you're a big reader of his, you'll be like, oh, I remember when this happened and this essay and these so ridiculous stories from the signing line. And then of course he's really well known for writing about traveling, airports and like drivers, and he will start a conversation with anyone just to try and get something crazy out of their mouth. These diaries are punctuated by current events, so mainly elections and also America's, you know, well-known mass shooting experiences.
God.
And then also, as it gets on later, there are the, like, when people are killed by police and, like, police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of sets these time markers for you, and it allows you as the reader to sit yourself within that timeline alongside your memories, which is really great about reading a diary, right?
It is, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but I think someone like David Sedaris you can kind of trust to take you in the right direction with that.
Yeah, and he trusts you as a reader just to sort of fit in. You're just getting this little slice of his life. And And also I think is really interesting, as time goes on, you see this evolution and growth of his character. I mean, he's not always like the most PC person, and he can say some like kind of whack shit, but it grows. And the thing is, the person he's hardest on is himself, because he can really be the biggest asshole, and he knows it. And he like just is constantly like laying himself on the line, and no matter who else he like looks at or discusses, he comes off the worst out of everyone.
Aha.
So are you going to learn anything new as a seasoned Sidaris fan? No, I don't think so, but it's just so great to hear his voice, because it's just so comforting. Will you laugh? Yes. Will you read things that you immediately want to read out to someone who's sitting next to you? Yes, definitely. You're like, hey, listen to this. And so I think you could give this to someone who'd never read Sidaris. But I'm saying that as a quite a big Sidaris fan. So anyone will like it. So I was planning to save this book for my summer holiday, but just picked it up and never stopped. It was just easy. It was just...
It feels like a good summer read. I mean, that exact thing of being like wanting to read a passage out to a friend, that is Christmas in my mind, you know, like my dad telling me a joke from across the room kind of thing.
And you're like, Dad, come on. And it sits on the coffee table and like several people are reading it at once, and it has all the different little bookmarks in it. My husband and I were actually just, I'll be like, come on, I've got to finish this for my review. But he's been reading it at the same time. And what I would say, though, I was quite keen to get to 2020, because even though Sidaris has written regularly for The New Yorker during COVID, I like was kind of like, oh, what's he going to say? And it was just quite mundane. But then there's also no context. So then I think that was my fault of him describing a situation. And I'm thinking, were they wearing masks? How far away were they standing?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but he doesn't say that. But perhaps because we're still in it, it doesn't seem as like I need a bit more of that context. So I thought the ending was sort of like, oh, okay, all right. But no, I still think it's just a must for the family coffee table at Christmas time.
Sounds like one to add to the present list immediately. I hope none of my family is listening right now, because I will be probably doing exactly the same thing. Thank you for bringing us A Carnival of Snackery, which is an excellent title, by David Sidaris this morning. Who's published this one?
This is by Little Brown. It's $38, and we have loads on the table and loads in stock at Timeout. So yeah, come on down, but still get in early for Christmas, because I can't guarantee anything these days.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you very much, Jenna. Have a lovely rest of your day, and we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, team. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was Loose Reads.
Thank you very much.